I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, February 5th, 2018. I'm Eric Schaun. We saw the Republican FISA memo. Will we see the Democrats this week?
I have no problem with political bias. Everybody has it. I have a problem with volitional acts you take and mesh that bias into your actions when you have the responsibility.
And I'm John Stossel. I get the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
Friday's declassification of a GOP memo alleging FBI abuses while seeking a warrant in the Russia investigation continues to put members of Congress at odds over the question of bias in the collusion probe. Democrats like Congressman Eric Swalwell of California say our Republicans want to discredit the investigation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. He says the FBI did provide the proper information in its FISA application.
They did disclose that it was a politically motivated source. That's what the judge needed to know.
But Republican Congressman Chris Stewart says that's not so, and the public needed to see the document.
It's kind of separate from the Russian investigation, but it's so important that we advise the American people of that.
President Trump thinks he was the victim of bias.
A lot of people should be ashamed of themselves, and much worse than that. So I sent it over to Congress. They will do what they're going to do. Whatever they do is fine. It was declassified.
I think we should see it all. I think in the interest of the nation right now, transparency is really our only friend left.
Dan Bongino is a former member of the Secret Service.
Regardless of where you stand in the political aisle, Republican, conservative, socialist, however you define yourself, it's clear something happened here. It's clear something happened here unusual during a presidential election. And I think if the Democrats have a rebuttal and that rebuttal contains facts, I think we should all see it. And one final note on this. Remember, Eric, this is not a political disagreement about the facts. There are court records here about what happened. So people have to be very careful in reviewing the information that they don't engage in unnecessary exaggeration because there's a court record. And I mean that on either side. So, yes, we should see it. We should see everything as long as it doesn't jeopardize our national security.
What are you most troubled by from what you read in the Republican memo?
You know, Eric, having been a federal agent myself, I mean this in the it's hard to say this without sounding like a condescending jerk, and I'm really not trying to do that. But having been a federal agent for 12 years of my life, you have a deep understanding of the awesome powers of the federal government to take your liberty, your property, and in the worst cases, your life. I mean, these are very real. Having done that, at least in having arrested people and been involved with the prosecution of federal criminals, I'm very cautious as a conservatarian about the powers of government. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind, and I say this in the most nonpartisan way possible, I'm a conservative, I acknowledge that, that the judicial restraint we place on those powers was circumvented. I have not seen to date, it may show up, but it hasn't yet, a scintilla of evidence of the probable cause necessary to spy on anyone in the Trump team. Not one. And if that's produced in the Democrat memo, when we find out that Carter Page or whoever else was spied on in the Trump team, that there was legitimate elements of probable cause, I stand corrected.
Well, let me put some of these the facts to you about that. Carter Page, as you know, 2013, under surveillance, contacted by Russians, apparently trying to recruit him, but nothing happened. He has never been charged with that. He claims he did nothing wrong. He's just a businessman meeting with people in Russia, high-level people. Then this letter comes out. It claims that he said he was an informal advisor to the staff of the Kremlin. And you've got, Democrat Congressman Jared Nadler saying he's, quote, more likely an agent of a foreign power or a Russian operative. No charges, and no charges since the FISA application. So can you understand how Carter Page potentially, fairly or unfairly, could ring bells? Here's a guy meeting with top-level Russian officials and speaking in Russia and then comes back, although on the surface, there does not appear to be a law broken about that.
You know, Eric, what you've described to me appears to be a series of bad decisions. There's a difference between bad decisions and criminal behavior that meets an evidentiary standard that the government can spy on you. Eric, what you've described, again, are things that if you're approached, Eric, and you go to the local supermarket, whatever it may be, and in that supermarket, a Russian agent comes up to you while you're buying bread and says, we'd like to recruit you as a Russian spy. There is nothing illegal about what you did unless you say yes. Nothing. Now, keep in mind, I don't know Carter Page. I'm not dying on the Carter Page Hill. I'm simply stating to you that what you're describing is evidence of maybe poor decision making, maybe awful decision making. But are you really describing to me an evidentiary wall that's been hurdled that the government can now spy on your private conversations and email? If you are, we're all living in a different country than the one I thought we lived in.
Don't you think, or the possibility they could have a lot more? I mean, look, they give access to his email. They have access to his telephone conversations, correspondence. Remember, they used to, in the old days in the Cold War, they would steam open your envelopes of your letters. I mean, could they potentially have a lot more that's classified that we don't know about?
Well, yes. And one, you know, the absence of evidence doesn't mean the evidence of absence. You know, I don't know there what they have or what they don't have. They may very well, and as I said opening this up, if they do, I'm happy to come back on your show, my show, and any other show and say, hey, this was a bad guy. There's clearly probable cause he was a Russian spy. Let's prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law.
The FBI has said it has grave concerns over the release of that memo, arguing it has material admissions of fact that fundamentally impact the memo's accuracy. The memo focuses largely on a surveillance request for Carter Page, a former Trump campaign advisor that relied, Republicans say, on an unverified dossier put together by former British spy Christopher Steele, who has expressed strong feelings against the president. However, during an interview with Fox's Catherine Herridge last March, Page said the allegations are completely untrue.
The stuff about me is just literally completely false in every way, shape, and form.
Democrats accuse Republicans of cherry-picking information and that the memo mischaracterizes highly sensitive classified information.
What I'm telling you is with all the leaks, Eric, for nearly a year and a half now, we have not seen anything, any hard piece of evidence that meets the standard for spying. And let me give you a couple things here, though, as well, that kind of, I think, make my case. And I understand we have to be fair on both sides here, but this is not data points in question right now. Andrew McCabe, the number two in the FBI, the deputy director, has said in sworn testimony that members of Congress are on the record saying is on tape. And these are people on the record on television appearances, placing their professional reputations on the line, have said that the number two in the FBI has clearly stated that the FISA warrants against Page would not have existed without a dossier, which we now know is categorically false. Problem number one. Problem number two, and you make an interesting proposition. What if he is the boogeyman and we just don't know it? Well, let me ask you a question. Why isn't he in jail? Why is Carter Page all over cable networks? Why is Carter Page running free right now if he is a spy worthy enough to start the most consequential counterintelligence investigation against a presidential candidate in U.S. history? Why is he on cable news?
You know, he shows up, doesn't have a lawyer, you know, apparently goes in there off times, doesn't even have a lawyer. I do want to point out, though, that officials in Congress and the Justice Department who are familiar with McCabe's testimony, according to The Hill, say that quote mischaracterizes what he said. But that's part of the problem in this, because we get all these different, you know, issues and developments, and we don't know where the truth is.
No, fair question. As a matter of fact, a great question. And that's why let's rewind the tape a bit. We opened up. Let's see it. Let's see it. Let's see his testimony.
And does that include, should we see the FISA applications to see what actually went in? Let's see what the same thing the judge saw.
100%. If we have to redact sources and methods, that's entirely understandable. What you don't want is intelligence operatives for the United States who may have gathered some of this, their lives being put in danger. Let's put that out there right away. Absolutely. Nope. Everybody, that is a nonpartisan issue.
No sources and methods, but whatever the judge saw to make this decision to say, okay, you can have that application again.
100%. I think at this point, the problem we're having, Eric, is seeds of distrust are being watered right now. And in a constitutional republic like we have, this is why I've been on Fox saying this is the most consequential, and I use that word very deliberately, counterintelligence investigation or political scandal in U.S. history.
We'll be right back with Dan Bongino.
This is John Stossel with your Fox News commentary. Coming up.
Download Living the Bream with Shannon Bream.
I don't think as long as Donald Trump is the president, anything's going to slow down. We have material and stories and excitement every single day.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcast.com.
We're back with Dan Bongino.
The consequences of this are going to be severe if we don't get, I hate the term get to the bottom of this, but it's never been so relevant.
But how can you actually say that when there's no convictions, there's no, these are just allegations? I mean, look what we've had in the past in this country. No, we had Watergate, we had a perversion of the whole system, and, you know, gosh knows how many elections were stolen in the past, maybe not a presidential election, but with all the problems in our history, including the Civil War.
Because here's why this is even more consequential than Watergate. With Watergate, you had Republican congressmen, notably Larry Hogan Sr., who came out at some point, Eric, and said, enough is enough. It is time for Nixon to go. There was clearly evidence of severe impropriety and criminality here. Where are the Democrats on this? Eric, the evidence is damning. There is no doubt that at a minimum, people at the FBI were working with an operative paid by the Democrat Party who was getting information from Russian assets. That is not in dispute.
But does that make their information incorrect? Because according to the Democrats, they say, although the Clinton campaign was not named, the DNC was not named as providing and paying for Steele, still, does that make the information incorrect, or does it make it suspect to you?
All I can rely on is what's already out in the public domain. And the FBI themselves, including Jim Comey, who called the information, and I'm quoting, salacious and unverified, and Bill Priestep, the number one in the counterintelligence division, who said they were not able to corroborate the majority of the memo. Eric, I'm just telling you what the investigators who have information you and I don't have already put out in the public domain.
And I think the memo even says that someone called it, what, minimally corroborative?
Corroborate. Well, yeah. This is important. The part of the memo that's been corroborated is two lines. Two lines. You know what those two lines are? The two lines are that the Russians had an animus to Hillary Clinton. So let me just be clear on that. There's a dossier about Trump with salacious, unbelievable charges used to spy on members of the Trump team. And yet none of the actual charges are verified. The only thing verified is the fact that the Russians didn't like Hillary. Where do you go with that? It's actually unbelievable, my experience swearing out warrants, that someone raised their right hand and attested to the fact that this was true.
Now, you've been out in the field a long time. We've seen the Peter Strzok and the Lisa Page emails. And everyone trash talks. Look, I mean, in the office, people, you know, down in the bar. But those are troubling. I mean, they clearly show an animus toward President Trump. However, others can say perhaps, but there is a professional standard that they could leave outside their duties. Do you believe that some of these investigators and others were biased against the president, so they're more than welcome to open their arms to Christopher Steele?
I do. And having been a Secret Service agent who is a hard conservative, to say the least, the constitutional conservative, I can tell you I worked for Barack Obama with no problem at all. He was very nice to me personally. So was his family. It was never, ever personal. Having said that, if you saw my emails, I'm active in Republican politics during my time. They were very critical of the policies of Barack Obama. And let me be clear on this. I don't have an issue with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page not liking Donald Trump. I do. I support the president. That's fine. They're human beings. Everyone is biased. The problem I have, Eric, is it's clear that volitional acts were taken. This is a senior member of the investigative team who interviewed Mike Flynn at the White House, Peter Strzok, and charged him with false statements. And meanwhile, the other agent in the room is alleged to have told Andy McCabe that he had no problem with he thought Mike Flynn was quite honest. Also, Strzok was a central player in the drafting of the Hillary exoneration letter, changing critical language from legal language to watered down language. So just rewind that.
You're talking about the gross negligence versus which is actually was a legal standard.
Absolutely. But not just that, not just gross negligence to recklessness. They also changed the line in it that referenced emails to the president of the United States, then to a senior government official, and then it was eliminated altogether. Now ask yourself, who was that senior government official? Well, clearly in the first draft, it was the president. Now, that explains to you why the Hillary investigation may have gone away, because there was an incentive in the Justice Department to not implicate the president of the United States. I'm just telling you things that are already out there. This is not conspiratorial nonsense. It's already out there in the public domain. The fact it's not, I have no problem with political bias. Everybody has it. I have a problem with volitional acts you take to enmesh that bias into your actions when you have a responsibility to do otherwise.
Do you think in a way it's only what was only a matter of time, because this stuff is done in secret in the FISA court, and we have you got to trust the government. You have to trust the judges and the prosecutors that they're acting honorably with the interest to protect the United States of America and all of its citizens, and that they are the white hats trying to do the right thing. But does this, in a way, open the crack and show that perhaps, according to the critics, such as you, that that may not be the case, that we're seeing, you know, we've seen it in prosecutions in the past where things can be shaved, where you can call an investigation a matter. Don't call it an investigation. That's the Clinton-Hillary email. And now things could be, you know, tweaked and massaged a little bit behind closed doors, and we would never know about it.
Well, you know, let's quote Lord Acton, you know, the absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the problem with the FISA courts, as I see them, it's not I don't trust anyone. It's not a matter of trust. I don't. I mean, I love my daughter, but I ask her to call me when she goes out to make sure she is where she says she is. Are you suggesting, and I'm not talking about you specifically, but to the liberals out there who are defending this, that the FISA courts should not be subjected to the same review? You know, I find these attacks on our government and our law enforcement, these charges that Republicans and conservatives all of a sudden can't stand law enforcement, laughable. I was in law enforcement proudly. I've defended police officers, FBI, and Secret Service agents who act admirably over and over.
Top House Intelligence Committee Democrat Adam Schiff calls the memo a product of cherry-picked details. It is misleading, he says, particularly about the role of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein.
A grave concern that the president, who's looking for any pretext to get rid of anyone who doesn't swear fealty to him.
Democrats have authored their own memo, a 10-page rebuttal that it, too, could be released, though House Speaker Paul Ryan says not before going through a scrubbing of intelligence sources and methods. That's what happened with the Republican memo, which was written by Representative Devin Nunes, a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He spoke to Fox News' Brett Baer.
The court was not made aware. And I would think that a judge, if the judge knew that, hey, we're opening it, we have an investigation of the Trump campaign, we're going after this Trump campaign advisor, and oh, by the way, Hillary Clinton's campaign paid for all this information. If that did happen, which it didn't, but if that court did know that, the judge would have to be, considered very suspect. But I don't believe that happened at all.
Nunes said the so-called Trump dossier was used as key evidence to get a warrant against Carter Page.
The problem I have with this is as the Wall Street Journal pointed out in an op-ed, there's only two answers to this. Either the FISA court was lied to and someone in the FBI has some serious explaining to do, or the FISA court was not lied to. And that's even more troubling because they approved the warrant to spy on Americans based on information they should have questioned immediately. What's the source of the information? And they didn't.
What if the FISA court was not lied to, but what if the FISA court was intentionally misled?
Well, I mean, we can debate semantically if that's lying, lies of omission, or commission. I'll say this. Either way, it's disturbing, and there needs to be a significant reevaluation of the FISA court in general. I'd rather see, what do they say? You know, get the guilty go free than one innocent man prosecuted. And in this case, I think this is applicable. We clearly have a situation where at least the evidence we have now that's gone out to the public, an American citizen, Carter Page, and subsequent members of the Trump team were spied on. And I can't say this enough. Bring this back to make it very easy, 30,000 feet. We have yet to see a scintilla of evidence to prove an evidentiary standard to do that. Does the Fourth Amendment even matter anymore? And that's the big question.
Well, perhaps some of that will come, or maybe it won't come. And we'll see what happens with this investigation and waiting the IG's report. And I understand what you're saying. It's the Americans' public right to know. You don't want to endanger anyone or national security, certainly. But this raises a lot of troubling questions as we've taken a peek under the hood or under the cover, so to speak. And it's healthy, in my view, for Americans to know what our government does. Dan Bongino, we thank you so much.
Thanks, Eric.
Here's a look at the week ahead.
Tuesday, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will travel to Colombia on Tuesday. He will be meeting with Colombian officials, including President Juan Manuel Santos. Both parties are expected to discuss economic and bilateral issues of importance to both nations. Thursday, another shutdown showdown as Congress must pass a new spending bill to avoid another partial government shutdown. Congress is expected to pass another short-term bill, but some lawmakers raising concerns over budget caps for military and domestic programs. Friday, fashionistas will take over the Big Apple for New York's Fashion Week. Created in 1943, the event showcases the latest spring and summer trends in the fashion industry. Meanwhile, the 2018 Winter Olympics gets underway in South Korea. The opening ceremony will take place in Pyeongchang Olympic Stadium on Friday. The games will run for 2 weeks before wrapping up on February 24th. I'm Mike Cantor, and that's a look at the week ahead.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
John Stossel. John Stossel.
What's on your mind?
President Trump is up 3%. I refer to the betting odds. Gamblers now give the president a 53% chance of finishing his first term. That's right, just 53%. They barely think he'll complete 4 years. This must seem wrong to you Trump supporters, but when Trump won, his odds were even lower. Most people thought he wouldn't finish one term. They said he can't take criticism. He'll quit. He'll get bored and quit. He'll return to making money. He'll be impeached. He'll get so angry he has a stroke. I live in New York City, so I heard that a lot. Still, I thought the people saying he'd be gone in less than 4 years were wrong, so I took bets, and so far it looks like I'm winning. You can follow these odds at electionbettingodds.com, a site we created that translates bets into odds Americans can follow. Now, I know you Trump fans mock the betting odds. Stossel, you fool, your website got Trump's election wrong. Why trust you now? Here's why. Betting odds are more reliable predictors of future events than polls, pundits, and everything else. True, the odds got Brexit wrong and Trump's victory wrong. But before Trump won, gamblers gave him a 20% chance. That's not nothing. The bettors get most things right. As I speak, they predict that this year Republicans will hold the Senate but lose the House. And who will be the next president? Trump's the favorite, but the odds makers give him just a 28% chance as I speak. Among Democrats, the front runners are, surprisingly, first is California Senator Kamala Harris at 7%. Then Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Joe Biden. Hillary is way down at 2%. Trump's biggest rival overall is Vice President Mike Pence at 8%. Yes, it's much too early to predict November, let alone 2020, but watching the odds change is fun. They update every 5 minutes. I'm John Stossel.
You have been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to Fox News Radio's hourly newscast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, visit foxnews.com.